Morning. Today's reading is going to be out of 2 Corinthians 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we must receive the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raised the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many.
Thank you, Matthew, for the reading. We will look at those words in a moment. And thank you for all of you who are here, especially those who are visiting. If some of you have arrived since Phil made the opening announcement yesterday, we lost 7-year-old Emma Babcock. And our hearts are grieved because of that. And so we ask that question that we just sang about, that Micah just led us in. Does Jesus care? We want to look at the words of that again. Look at the words of that song. And just reflect on this. And we'll try to answer this scripturally. And it is difficult on a day like this to know what to say. And I ask advice from several of you at the hospital yesterday. And it was John who said that he had listened to this song yesterday morning, and that it had brought him strength. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? Sometimes in the Bible, mourning is associated with prayer, and joy is associated with song. One place you see that is in James 5, verse 13. What about when your heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As burdens press and cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. In the second verse, does Jesus care when my way is dark? When our way is so dark that it is hard to see, if not impossible to see, any light at the end of a tunnel, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Let's pause after that verse and look back at this passage that Matthew read in 2 Corinthians 1. Paul said, we don't want you to be aware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia. And I want you to listen to how he describes his affliction. We were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. In verse 9, indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves. So here is Paul describing how his way is dark. He was burdened excessively. He was burdened beyond his strength. He despaired of life. And we had this sentence of death within ourselves. This is Paul's description of his circumstance. Now, this is the Paul who wrote, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in prison. This is the Paul who in Acts 16 at Philippi, when he was beaten and placed in stocks, he and Silas were singing and praising God at midnight. And he said, we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. We despaired of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. What in the world caused Paul to say this? With all he experienced and all he encountered and all he endured. His life was dark with a nameless dread and fear. But he said there was a purpose of it all. That we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and he will yet deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. He delivered us from this moment, from this experience, from this trouble. He delivered us from this. And he said, he will deliver us again. I suggest to think about something. Every person that we have prayed about here, who was sick and who recovered, and that has been many, every time a person has been delivered, every time a person is recovered, it foreshadows the ultimate deliverance and the ultimate recovery. The God who healed every sickness is the God who will raise. And each difficulty we experience from which we're delivered is a reminder of the ultimate deliverance and the ultimate rescue in the resurrection. Verse 3 of this psalm goes into a little bit of different direction. I thought it was first. Okay. This is a line I will... this is a line also in the psalm. maybe not in the version that, not the version that Paul has, but here's words. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief, I find no relief and my tears flow all the night long. That is a little bit different experience than the others. What about some temptation that you've tried so strongly to resist? And you find yourself trapped in this again. And you find yourself unable to sleep. Not because of problems from the outside, but because of sins from the inside. Does Jesus care? Well, let me give you a biblical illustration. When Jesus was talking with his disciples at the Last Supper, he said, "The shepherd is going to be struck and all the sheep will be scattered." And Peter said, Lord, though all deny you, I will never deny you. I'm willing to die with you. Jesus says, Peter, this night the cock will not crow before you have denied three times that you know me. What happened that night is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. Peter denies Jesus three times. Even before the first two denials in Matthew's account are before a slave girl. Somebody that didn't have any political clout. Somebody that wasn't going to get him executed. And Peter was unwilling to acknowledge before her that he was a disciple. And when Peter denied Jesus three times, becoming more adamant, more vehement each time, "I don't even know this man." Luke's gospel says Jesus turned and looked at Peter, Luke 22:61. I don't know how all this was situated, but Jesus looks at Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Is there ever going to be forgiveness for such a horrible thing? He had been outspoken. "I will never deny you. I will never disown you. I will die before I will do that." And he did that. He betrayed Jesus under little pressure. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, there's no indication that Peter was near. When he was buried, Peter was not among those mentioned as participating in the burial. But when Jesus is raised and he appears to the women, he said, "Go and tell the disciples." And Peter, "That I've been raised." Matthew 16:7. And on that first day, at some point in that day, he appears to Peter. Yes, Jesus cares. But let's look at this verse. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me. And my heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? A passage the elders mentioned yesterday in the preparing to worship that they sent out. The shortest verse in our English New Testament, John 11:35, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. I looked at several good commentaries on that passage last night, and all of them said things to think about, things, points that have some validity. But I thought all of these commentaries downplay the power of that statement. Jesus wept. I'm not saying that there are not multiple things going on in that text. I think there are. There are multiple things. But some ask, if Jesus is just weeping for Lazarus, why would he weep when he knows he's about to raise him? Remember that passage? For a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a day? Is the distance between the Lazarus' death and resurrection from God's perspective any different from the distance between our death and resurrection? And yet, when we weep, does not Jesus weep with us? The Bible says, in all your affliction, I was afflicted. Isaiah 63 and verse 9. The Bible says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In Acts 9 and verse 4. And even after the resurrection of Jesus, when Stephen died, the Bible says in Acts 8, verse 2, that devout men buried him and made loud lamentation over him. All of this to say, I think Jesus wept because of Lazarus' death. There may be other things involved. But he grieves at death and the destruction it causes. Jesus is described in Isaiah 53, verse 3, as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now let that sink in. Something you know. But he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in the chorus, we affirm in this song, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Now let me ask you a question. How do you know that? How do you know that? If you base that on circumstances, if you base that on feelings, you will forever be fluctuating. You know what we can base that on? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I can know that because God, who is not subject to hunger, not subject to thirst, not subject to pain, entered into our world in the person of Jesus. He entered into humanity and subjected himself to death. And I want to tell you, in the death he endured, he was not surrounded by loving hands that were seeking to help him and heal him. He was surrounded by a mob that continued to insult him and ridicule him. In the book of Psalms, we see prayers pour out their passion, their grief, their lamentation in the midst of their desperate situation. It is striking to me that of the seven statements of Christ in the cross, three of them are from the most pain-filled of our Psalms. God did not see our pain and hold us at a distance. But God has entered into humanity to know hunger, to no thirst, to experience death and the most cruel form of death, the cross. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? He came as the Lamb of God to take away our sin. John 1:29. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul said, "Brethren, I don't want you to be grieved." This is starting at verse 13, and I'm paraphrasing right now. "As those who don't have any hope." He's not saying we don't grieve, but he says we don't grieve hopelessly. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? I'm confident you do. If you believe that Jesus died, if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. These people were afraid that when they said goodbye to those who died, they were apparently under the idea that if you didn't live till Jesus came, you were going to miss out on the benefits of the resurrection. And he says, no. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there we will ever be with the Lord. There's another passage I wanted to look at for a moment, and that is in Philippians 1, 21 through 24. Paul wrote, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." Now look at that. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain only in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. I have been trying for the last month to formulate what I'm about to say. Actually, I can't remember why I was looking for a way to formulate this. We all grieve death. We all grieve Emma's death. But heaven is not a consolation prize for those who miss out on the best life. It is not a consolation prize. Well, if you don't have the blessing of living here, at least we'll go to heaven. Heaven is where real life, ultimate life, life that God intended will be realized. We all grieve, but I will say, I don't believe Emma's grieving. I don't think she's grieving at all. And I understand that in the midst of any crisis, we affirm God's truth, we turn to God's truth, we build our hope on God's truth. And we may also have to say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Let us pray. We know, O God, that you care. If you did not care, we would not have the Lord's Supper to celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord. By are walking into humanity was the ultimate step of your grace and mercy. We know you care. You know you care. And for the times that our heart may doubt, help us to be reminded of the fundamentals of the gospel. Of the fundamentals of how you loved us and entered our world, and how you died to be raised from our, died for our sins and to be raised to give us hope of eternal life. Help our hearts to know that. And oh Lord, for Brian and Amanda, for all the grandparents and great grandparents and uncles and aunts and Carter and Dylan, we especially pray that you be with them as they bear this loss. Be with them. Hold them up and sustain us. Sustain them most of all. Sustain them in their pain, in their difficulty, which many of us cannot imagine, and which they hope we never have to imagine. Hold on to them. Hold on to each of us. And bring us home to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph's brothers hated him and sold him into Egyptian slavery. They bring back his coat covered with blood and present it to their father. And their father draws the conclusion that they want him to draw, that his son is dead and has been devoured by wild beasts. He believed that for 22 years. Until he sees all the riches that Joseph has sent back by his brother's hands. And they tell him, Joseph is alive and he's a ruler of Egypt. I can't imagine how Joseph's heart was thrilled. Jacob's heart was thrilled at seeing his son, who had been assumed to be dead, after 22 years of thinking that way. And I can't imagine the joy it will be for those who loved Emma to be united with her one day. May God bless you all. May God give you strength. Jesus cares. friend, if you're reminded by this about the brevity and uncertainty of life, and you know you need forgiveness, you know He cares, why not be baptized into Christ this day as we stand and sing?